Okay, we're going to read the scripture for today, which is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Read in English first. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman.
創世記3章1節から4節を日本語で拝読いたします。さて、神である主が作られたあらゆる野の獣のうちで蛇が一番狡猾であった。蛇は女に言った。あなた方はその野どんな木からも食べてはならないと神は本当に言われたのですか？女は蛇に言った。私たちはそのにある木の実を食べてよいのです。しかしその野中央にある木の実について神はあなた方はそれを食べてはならない、それに触れてもいけない、あなた方が死ぬといけないからだと仰せになりました。そこで蛇は女に言った。あなた方は決して死にません。
Good morning. How are you?Do we need light? Sure, let there be light. But today I want to continue talking about having a Christ-centered life, and today specifically trusting His goodness. I used to be an elementary school pastor. Used to pastor 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. And I'd start out every worship service with, "God is good." And then they'd all yell, "Amen."Let's try that. God is good.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. See, little kids, they shout it out. There's no shame in it. The older I notice, the congregation I speak to, the less it gets, you know. It's like, amen, yeah. I think it's because the longer we live life, the more trouble we see.Is that true? Is it just me? No. And sometimes we mistake God's goodness with the troubles in this life. And although life may not be good all the time, God is good all the time. Let me say that again. Although life may not be good all the time, because there will be trouble. There will be sickness, cancer, divorce, you name it.And you'll probably go through it, or know somebody that has. And so, you know, the goodness of God will be challenged. And it's always been challenged, as we just saw in the scripture reading today in Genesis. And most of you know Genesis is the first book in the Bible, and it begins with, "In the beginning, God." And He starts creating the earth. And after He creates something,He says, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was very good. God has always been good. In chapter 3, we get to this story where a serpent, and it's most likely Satan, he comes and he tempts Eve. Now, I want to say he tempts both Adam and Eve, although Eve is the only one mentioned.The Greek shows that Adam was not very far from Eve. In fact, he was probably there right next to Eve as Satan tempted Eve. Wait, did I just say Eve? Mm-hmm. Did I not say Adam?
Adam was close to
Eve. Yeah, Adam was close to Eve when Satan tempted Eve. And the first thing the serpent asked was, He says, let me just read this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that you, when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now before I go any further, let me just pray for our time. Father, we thank you so much again for bringing us all together. We thank you, Father, for just the old faces and friends that you brought. Not old faces, but old friends that you brought, Lord. And we just ask your blessing over this time. Father, we ask an increase of your presence, an increase in the awareness of your presence. We ask, Father, that we may bless your name in some ways, and that you would bless our time. Holy Spirit, we thank you, we invite you, we ask that you would come. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now when the serpent makes the statement, "You will not certainly die," I believe the serpent was challenging God's goodness. He was challenging God's character. If God really was a truthful being, or if he was lying. In certain aspects, it didn't seem like Adam and Eve died, but they did. Now, God didn't say, "I will kill you." He simply made the statement, "If you eat of it, you will die." And they certainly opened the door to death when they ate of the tree. Now, I don't know what it was, whether it was their disobedience that opened the doors to death or it was the fruit itself. The Bible isn't clear on which it was. But certainly it opened the door to death when they ate of the tree, which God said, "Don't eat." So God wasn't lying. God, it's not like God was withholding this fruit from Adam and Eve. And as I mentioned earlier, everything God made was good. And he gave it to Adam and Eve to enjoy. Is that a good God or what? And then James 1:17, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And throughout the scripture, we see God's faithfulness, his truthfulness, his love, his kindness, his patience, all of that for us, his goodness. And again, I just want to encourage some of you, although life may be tough, and although Christians may not be good all the time, we may not represent him well, pastors may not represent him well sometimes, God is good all the time. Amen. 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 I believe the second thing the serpent challenged, other than his character, was his timing. Verse 5, it says, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." I believe the goodness of God's timing is challenged by the serpent, and it's nothing wrong with wanting to become like God. In fact, isn't that our pursuit as Christians? To become more Christ-like. Our goal is to become more like Christ. But I believe Satan, what he was offering Adam and Eve was HGH. No? Okay. an enhancement performance pill, if you will. A shortcut. Steroids, spiritual steroids. I remember I was teaching a youth group one time, and I was talking about shortcuts. And unlike this group here, the group was all basketball players. So I was able to like relate to them really well. But I asked them, you know, what if I could give you a pill, and with that pill, you'll become one of the greatest basketball players, or even good enough to make the NBA. Make millions of dollars playing basketball. Now that's a very enticing pill, isn't it? Now if you watch Major League Baseball, that's a pill that many, I don't want to say many, but that's a pill that has gotten a lot of Major League players in trouble. Famous players in trouble. It's a shortcut. Now in the kingdom of God, there are no shortcuts. There are none. And if you ever want to make things go faster in the kingdom of God, it's called sacrifice. Sacrifice is the closest thing you'll get to a shortcut. And it's kind of an oxymoron. Sacrifice and shortcut, they're actually the opposite things. But God's timing is always perfect, amen? He is never too early, although I wish He was early sometimes. But He is never too late. It's perfect. His timing is perfect. But His timing takes patience and it takes faith. And a lot of times, we mess up on God's timing because of our lack of patience, our lack of faith. And Satan questions God's timing to Adam and Eve and says, you know, you could be like God if you just eat this fruit. It'll be just like that. And they take it. Galatians 6:9, let me just read that. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. My mom, when we used to live in Los Angeles, my mom, she liked to grow plants. She liked roses and she liked all these other things. And one of her dreams was to have like her own vegetable garden. And one time, I remember she planted, I believe it was tomatoes. It could have been strawberries, but I believe it was tomatoes. She planted tomatoes in the backyard. I love tomatoes. I don't know about you, but I could eat tomatoes like it's an apple. Like I'll take a whole tomato and just start eating it. I don't know. I'm weird. That is not the fruit of the... Anyways, so she planted tomatoes and a couple days passed. I think maybe a week passed, and I went out and there was no tomatoes. And so I just dug it up. And I probably killed it. Obviously, I killed the tomatoes. I dug it up and there were things growing, and I told my mom, hey mom, you know, I dug up the tomatoes and there was no tomatoes. And she was like, why'd you do that? And she asked me, was there anything growing? And I said, yeah, there was stuff growing. She was like, ah. Oh. She didn't get too mad. She was just, I think, more frustrated. But God's timing is like that sometimes. There's things growing underneath that we cannot see. Things happening that we cannot see with our own eyes. But God is moving. God is doing something. And His timing is always perfect. If I would have just waited and, I don't think faith is the right word, but if I was just waited and trusted in how ecology, what is the study of plants? You know what I'm talking about. If I would have just waited and trusted and just how nature works, I would have probably saw some tomatoes eventually, right? And I want to tell you today, spiritually, in the same way, just to be patient and have faith. God will work in an amazing way. Now I believe when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve to be like God, it was his timing, but also, finally, let me close with this one, but it was his wisdom that was being challenged. God's wisdom. Verse 6 says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She took some and ate it. I believe in some way the goodness of God's wisdom was also challenged. The fruit was desirable, it was okay to eat, and the outcome was they would know, they would have the wisdom of knowing good and evil. Let me just... let me read it from... it was desire for gaining wisdom. Sorry, I lost my place for a second. What I'm going to say, I will not go further in, but I just want to share this. I believe God eventually wanted Adam and Eve to know the difference between good and evil. It's interesting, whenever I see the word know in the Bible, I try to make sure it's an experiential know, not just an intellectual know, right? It's experience good and evil. And so some ways I believe God wanted them to know, not just intellectually, but experientially, good and evil, but not through rebellion. Not through rebellion. They began to know good and evil from the tree, but it was through rebellion they knew evil and good instead of trusting God. And so when Satan tempts them to become more like God, knowing the difference between good and evil by this fruit, I believe God's way isn't through rebellion, but through obedience. Amen. And so there are certain things I believe God wants each and every one of us to experience through obedience rather than curiosity or rebellion. Let me just put that, let me just leave it at that. And if you notice in James 3:15, it says, wisdom that does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. There is a wisdom, sometimes, that we listen to, that's not from God. I hope we all realize that, right? Sometimes, there's something that is communicating to our mind that is not from God. James points it out. He says there is a wisdom that's not from God sometimes. And if we can't, and if we don't separate, differentiate from God's wisdom with earthly or demonic wisdom, we will eventually fall. We will eventually fall short of what God has for us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James. Chapter 3. I believe this is relevant for some of us today. James chapter 3, verses 13 and on. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Let me tell you, if you ever have wisdom that isn't humble in nature, be careful where you're getting your ideas from. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from the heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But, verse 17, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Amen. Amen. When it comes to living a godly life, when it comes to pastoring a church, or when it comes to being a Christian, let's consider this kind of wisdom. When we speak to one another in the church, especially in the church, and also when we speak to one another outside of the church, that is this kind of wisdom, because there is another kind of wisdom. Let this kind of wisdom dictate how we act and what we say, and even how we think. There is a wisdom that is not of heaven, that if we listen to, we will fall and fall short. And when Adam and Eve, when Eve listened to that wisdom and took the fruit and ate of it, and she gave it to Adam to eat, and they fell, it's when we fail to trust in His goodness, there are certain things it will result in. Obviously death, but let me just go down the list of things it will go through. In Genesis 3:7, it says, they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. I believe the first thing it brought was shame. And one of the things that the wisdom of this earth, and when we listen to it and we don't listen to the wisdom of God, it will bring shame to our lives. I know how it feels. I think we all know how it feels. It brings fear. Genesis 3:10, it says, He answered, when God called to Adam and Eve and asked where they were and why they were hiding, Adam answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Another result of not trusting in His goodness, I believe, is a curse. Now, I don't think you and I were cursed, but the ground certainly was cursed. In Genesis 3:17 it says, cursed is the ground because of you. Our laborers can be cursed. The ground can be cursed when we fail to trust in the goodness of God. And finally, and the most devastating effect, is separation and death. It says in Genesis 3:23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden. And I believe, though, when we live in obedience and when we trust in God's goodness, the opposite will be true. Amen. The opposite will be true. God will wipe away our shame. God will take away our fear. There is no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. God will take away our curse. In fact, it says Jesus died on a tree so that He can be a curse, so that we may be blessed. Amen. God will take away our curse. But most importantly, God will give us eternal life instead of death. And He will bring us closer, as close as we want to be with Him. As we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. When we trust in God's goodness. God is good. Amen. All the time. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace, Your mercy, Your love, and especially Your goodness. We pray, Father, that You would just help us to See, trust in it. To trust your goodness, to trust your character. Father, every good and perfect gift is from you. Father, you have a plan for us, a plan to prosper us. Father, let us trust in your timing. Your timing is perfect. Although we may not be able to see with our eyes, Lord, we thank you for your timing. And we also thank you for your wisdom, for your ways are higher than ours. Father, we just want to continue to live in obedience to you, Father, with wisdom from above. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.